Thursday the 30th of April, Vav Iyar, Rabbi Matisyahu Lawrence, The Problem of Papaya.
Usually when someone gives a shiur, they get the feedback afterwards. This time I got the feedback beforehand. What's the problem with papaya? What can be the problem with papaya? So, firstly, what is a papaya? So, this is a papaya. For those who are listening on a Koraloshin, you won't see it. But here is a papaya. This is a papaya. We can see what a papaya is. But the question is, what is it? We have a mitzvah in this week's parsha. The mitzvah of Orla. Pasuk says in Vayikra Yuchtes, Pasuk Chof Gimel. Chi savoyu el ha'oret, unatatem kol eitzem achol. When you come into the land, it doesn't say which land, but presumably it's Eretz Yisrael. And you plant kol eitzem achol. Any tree for eating. Baratem or losoy es period. I'm not going to translate it exactly, but there is a din of Orla on the fruits. Shalei shadim hiye rochem aredim lo yeyochel. For 3 years, they're not allowed to eat the fruit. It's arelim. Vashono harbiyis yiya kol piryo kodesh hilulim l'Hashem. In the 4th year, the fruit is kodesh hilulim l'Hashem. Vashono chamishis toichu es piryo. In the 5th year, that's when the earliest opportunity is that you can eat the fruit. L'hoisif l'chem tevuosoi. That will increase your tevuah somehow. Ani Hashem elokeichem. And that is the mitzvah of Orla, the issa of Orla. For the first 3 years that a fruit produces a tree, from the time that it's planted, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat that fruit. And the Torah doesn't give any very specific details as to what is a fruit. And in fact, if you look in Halacha, in the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Sefta, there's very little detail given as to what is defined as a fruit for the purposes of Hilchus Orla. So let's have a summary of the halachas of Orla, and see if we can identify what the halacha of this item, I can't call it a fruit, but maybe it's not a fruit, what this item is. So the halacha is that Orla applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael as well. Unlike most mitzvahs which are related to agricultural matters, for example, Truma and Maisa, which apply only in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha and the din of Orla applies even outside Eretz Yisrael. It is interesting, the source of this. The source that it applies in Eretz Yisrael is the pasuk that we write, that we read just now. Ki savoy el ha'oretz, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, then there is a halacha of Orla. The halacha of Orla that applies in Chutz La'oretz is halacha v'moshe nisinai. The halacha v'moshe nisinai, which says that the dinim of Orla apply in Chutz La'oretz. However, there's one, or maybe more, nafkaminas, differences, in that Orla in Chutz La'aretz, Sofik Orla in Chutz La'aretz is Mutar. Part of the Halacha of Moshe Misinai, which says that Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz, part of that Halacha says that Sofik Orla in Chutz La'aretz is Mutar. That means in Eretz Yisrael, if you have a Sofik, we'll discuss what type of Sofik, if you have a Sofik Orla in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know whether the Din of Orla applies to something, you don't know if it's a fruit, you don't know how old it is, how old the tree is. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to be machmir, and the fruit is also. In Chutz La'aretz, the halacha is that it's mutar. Now, what are the reasons for the mitzvah of Orla? Obviously, we keep the Torah, we keep the mitzvahs without reasons. But the Mefarshim suggest, as they do with most mitzvahs, reasons for the mitzvah of Orla. So the Ramban brings a number of different reasons. The Ramban al-Chumash on that pasuk over there says it's very similar, the first reason he gives is very similar to the mitzvah of Bikurim. In the same way that we have to offer the first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too, the first fruits of a tree have to be offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why then only the 4th year or the 5th year? Why for the 4th year? Why for the first 3 years is it not allowed? The reason is because the first 3 years from the planting of a tree, the quality of the fruit is not very good, usually. It's not very good, it doesn't produce nice fruit, the quantity is very small, and therefore it's not covered to give that fruit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once the 4th year arrives, then the fruit is already strong, it's good quantity, it's nice to give that fruit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to take that fruit to Yerushalayim, and offer that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one of the first reasons, the Rambam brings. The second reason the Rambam brings is that the fruit in the first few years contains a lot of moisture. It hasn't had sufficient exposure to the sunlight and to the warmth and the atmosphere, and therefore it's a schwacher fruit. Similar to what he said before, but he's giving a more a biological reason, if you put it like that, or agricultural reason, that it hasn't had enough sunlight, it hasn't had enough warmth, it hasn't been around long enough, the tree, and therefore it's not, the texture, he says, is muddy and murky and watery, and therefore it's not very nice fruit. The Rambam brings a third reason from the Rambam, from Moed Nevuchim. The third reason is interesting. The Rambam says that in the times when the Torah was given, the magicians in those times, people who practiced kishuf, what they used to do was try, and they would do kishuf on a tree. They'd plant a new tree. And at the time of planting the tree, they would do some kind of act of kishuf, of magic, of sorcery, in order to be makdim, the gidul of the peiros, in order to bring the peiros to grow early. And then they would take those peiros and offer them to their avodah zarah, whichever avodah zarah it was that they had in mind when they, at the time when they had done the kishuf, that's what they would do. They would offer those fruits to their God. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu forbade us to have fruits within the first 3 years to prevent this from arising. In other words, even if a person did do kishuf chas v'shalom and be makdim the fruit came early, there's a lot of arla which says you're not allowed to have the fruit in the first 3 years anyway. So it was designed to get round the situation where people would be doing kishuf. That is what the Rambam says. Then there's a couple of other reasons, Kabbalah, that the Sforim bring down, that the Koichas HaTuma are on something for the first 3 years, the Koichas HaTuma reign over a tree for the first 3 years, and therefore we try to avoid it. So those are some of the reasons which are suggested by the Rishonim for the mitzvah of Orla. Now, why is Orla very relevant nowadays, more so than ever before? The reason is because there's something nowadays called genetic engineering. Genetic modification, which means that they can scientifically do things to fruit and various other things as well, to make fruits produce their fruit trees to produce their fruit much earlier than they would do. And this is quite common with certain species of grapes and things like that, where they've genetically engineered them, whereas previously they wouldn't produce fruit for 3 or 4 years anyway, and therefore there wouldn't be any order around of that thing, because the vine didn't really grow fruit for the first few years. Now they have done something to make them grow early. And therefore, there's going to be a problem with orla with some of these things. The reason why they do this is for economic reasons, because if you're a farmer and you're setting up your plantation, you don't want to have your vines or your trees sitting around for 3 years doing nothing, and 3 years of produce, you can't do anything with. It's not economical. So if you can speed it up and produce things earlier than normal, so you can make more money. So that's the reason why there's so much money being invested into genetic engineering, one of the reasons. So therefore, the result has been that there is more produce around today, which is orla, or at least Sophic orla, than ever before. And this applies to, for example, certain types of apricots, grapes, nuts, shamuti oranges, which is a species of orange, nectarines. I'm not saying it applies to all these things, but this is where the genetic modification has been done, and some of those examples, and therefore, more shaydes of orla have arisen. Now, there are various dinim, how you measure the 3 years, which I'm not going to go into. If anyone wants to look at that, look in Yerodea, Semen Reish Tzadi Dalet. Yerodea Reish Tzadi Dalet is where the halachas of orla, and there it specifies how do you measure the 3 years. Is it 3 complete years? Is it 2 and a bit years? It depends on various different factors. We're not going to go into that now. Now, so we said before that there's a halacha of Sofik Orla. Sofik Orla in Chutz in Eretz Yisrael is Mechumra, it's also Sofik Orla in Chutz La'aretz is Mutter. So what situations of Sofik can arise? So for example, you might not be sure whether a particular tree or fruit is Orla. Why not? Because you don't know the age of the tree. When was this tree planted? Go to an orchard, you have no idea when the tree was actually planted. You don't know where it came from. Or you don't know whether the thing is a fruit or a vegetable. And the truth is, there's very few examples where it's a sophic, whether something is a fruit or a vegetable. And that's what we're going to discuss a little bit. This item here, there exists a sophic, whether this is a fruit or a vegetable, halachically. And we're going to discuss it. So, which trees commonly have a problem with Orla Lamaisa? So some trees don't produce fruit at all in the first 3 years. They just don't produce fruit at all. So therefore, if you find those particular fruit in the shop, you will know that they are not Orla. Behechruch, they come from the third, from the fourth year, fifth year, or sixth year, because that type of tree does not produce fruit at all. Some trees do not produce marketable fruit during that time. In other words, they do produce fruit, but as we said before, like the Ramban said, it's shvach. For example, olives, dates, figs, cherries, mangoes, peaches, lemons, these types of fruit are produced in the first 3 years of the tree, maybe the first year, the second year, but they're not very good. And therefore, you won't find them on the market. If you go to a shop, you go to Tesco's, you go to a greengrocer, you won't find any of those items of fruit there, which are Arla, because they're just not marketable, people wouldn't buy that. Oranges applies to as well. So let's define pre-eats and pre-adoma. Right? As we said, the Torah says that the din of Arla applies to which type of fruit? From an eats, from a tree. If something comes not from a tree, then you don't apply the halachos of Arla. So there is a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem. The Gemara there is talking regarding Hilchos Brachos. And the Gemara says, Heicha mevarchinon boirei priyaitz. How do you make boirei priyaitz? In other words, on what items do you make boirei priyaitz? The Gemara says, Heicha dechishatas le lepiri eisi de gabza behodom mapik. If you to take away the piri from the tree, isa le gabza. The gabza will remain behind. I'm not going to translate gabza for a second. And v'hoda mapik, and then it will then give forth something, presumably fruit. Even if you take away the fruit, the gavza will remain behind, and it will then give fruit at some other point in the future. If you were to take away the fruit from the tree, you're to pick the fruit, the gavza does not remain behind and produce fruit further. You don't make ha'etz on such a fruit, you make beri pri adoma. And that is said in the context of Hilchos Brachos. So what does gavza mean? If the gavza remains behind when you pick the fruit and it produces fruit afterwards, then you make ha'etz. If not, you make adoma. What is gavza? So there happens to be a machlokes v'shoinim what the word gavza actually means. And it's not so clear, this machlokes v'shoinim, that they're arguing. But if you look into the v'shoinim, that's what they're arguing about, it appears to me. What does the word gavza mean? So Rashi there says, gavza means ha'onof shel eitz, the branch. If when you pick a fruit, the branch remains behind, and at some point in the future, next season, or sometimes trees produce every 2 years, it will then produce another fruit. That is called a tree. But if, once one, you pick the fruit and the crop of this year has finished, there, the gavza doesn't remain behind, it doesn't stay there, it will disappear, the whole thing disintegrates and falls down. That is Bayer Pri Adoma according to Rashi. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. However, there's another shitta as well. The Rashi's shitta and other Rishonim as well. Hold, the word gavza does not seem to mean a trunk or a branch, it means the roots underground. So what the Gemara is saying according to them, if you pick the fruit, and you've taken this year's crop, if the gavza remains behind, that means the roots underground remain behind, the hodo mapik, and then the tree can regrow from the branch, from the roots underground, by itself. That is called an eitz. But if, when you've picked the fruit, the things do not remain in the ground, and it needs replanting, then that's not called an eitz anymore, that's called a vegetable, that's a yerek, and that's a vegetable. So this is Machlokes Rashi and Rosh, and actually Machlokes other Rishonim as well. What is the definition of a tree? Now, the question is whether this Machlokes, or whether this whole din applies to Hilchos Orla, and it's not clear at all. Some Rishonim bring it in the context of Orla as well. This is how you define a tree. Okay? So, according to Rashi, for example, an orange tree, an apple tree, these kinds of things are clearly trees because the branches remain every year and they produce. Whereas certain bushes, where the whole bush disintegrates, and only the things remain underground, according to Rashi, that's not called a tree. But according to these other Rishonim, that is called a tree. Because the roots remain underground. Only if it completely disappears, and you have to replant it every year, that's called Hadoma, according to those Mishraim. That's one simon that's brought. There's another simon which is brought, which is a Tesefta in Kilayim. I haven't got the Marimokim here, I didn't write it down, but it's a Tesefta in Kilayim, obviously referring to Hilchas Kilayim. And there, a tree is defined as something where the leaves, and obviously the fruit, because the leaves and the fruit come out at the same point, the leaves and the fruit come out of branches. But if the leaves and the fruit come out of roots, then this is pre-Hadom. Okay, that's another definition that's brought in Hilchis Kilayim, and again, it's a shaila whether this applies to Hilchis Orla as well. If the leaves and the fruit come out of the branches, then it's a tree. If the leaves and the fruit come out of roots, then it's pre-Hadom. Okay. And that's really what we have in Shas, in Tesefta, in Mishnayis, in Gemara, regarding the simonim of how to differentiate between a tree and a pre-Hadom. Fruit of the tree and pre-Hadom. Now, a few hundred years ago, a shaila arose regarding something which nowadays we call chatzilim or aubergines. They had a different word for it. And we find this tshuva in the Radbaz and various other poskim around that time and from that time onwards. Now the aubergine chatzilim plant is very interesting because it only grows for 3 years. It doesn't grow for any longer. After 3 years it disappears. So behechroch. Everything that comes from a chatzilim tree or plant is from within the first 3 years. So if it's going to be a fruit, if it's a tree, then it's all going to be orla. And you'll never be able to eat chatzilim, aubergines. But the halacha is that we do eat it. We do have. The minig is, the more than minig, the halacha is that we do eat aubergines. So obviously we are defining that aubergine is not a tree, it is pre-hadom. So why is that? So various different shittas have been brought to suggest why it is that aubergines are not a tree, but rather pre-Hadom. So one is the Birki Yosef on the Chiddush Shulchan Aruch, again in Siman Reish Tav Yudalet, which says that he gives testimony that the Talmidei Harizal, the Talmidim of the Harizal, were made that Rav Chaim Vital, who was the main Talmud of the Harizal, he ate aubergines. So it must be alright, because he ate it. What's the reason that they suggest? A new svara we didn't hear before. The fruit of aubergine becomes bitterer, if there is such a word, more bitter, each year. First crop is nice, decent crop, the second year is not so nice, and the third year is even less nice. And therefore it can't be a tree. Because the nature and the teva of a tree is to improve, like we said before. The regular din of Orla, some of the Rishonim even suggest, applies. Why? Because the first few years is not even good fruit anyway. And we don't want to be mapped with that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Ramban said. But it improves over the years. Chatzilim, aubergine is the opposite. It gets worse every year. And they went to Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, and they asked him, what is the halacha of chatzilim? And he said, Peik chazim may amad bar. Go and see what the minhag is, what the olam is doing. You see, the people eat it. It must be that we take on that it is okay. No gedolim, no rabbonim made a machor, you're not allowed to eat chatzilim, and therefore it is okay. And they also bring Eidus, Birki Yosef says from the Arizal himself, that he ate aubergines. Not only Reb Chaim Vital, but even the Arizal himself ate them. So therefore there's no sophic if there would have been any question about it. And the reason that they bring is because the fruit gets bitterer every single year. The Chazon Ish says another svara. Chazon Ish says that since we said before that this plant only grows for 3 years, if you were to say it's a tree, then all its produce is going to be orla. And lo yitachin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create something that you can't eat. What's the point of creating it really as a fruit that you can't eat? So therefore, the Chazon Ish says that is a svara to say, not sure if he relies on it by itself, it could be it's mitzuruf, the other svaras that the other achronim say. But there is a svara to say that it can't be that it's a tree, because if it's a tree, then it would always be osa, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have created something that's always osa.
The poisonous tombstools and berries that you can't eat, that are dangerous to eat.
Yeah, okay, but then obviously they were created for not edible purposes. Here, this is physically edible. It is. So why would Kodesh Baruch Hu make something which is physically edible, and that you can't eat? Now, the trunk, says other achronim, the trunk of a chatzilim is actually hollow. It's more like a stalk. It's actually hollow inside. And some want to say,
and it's the weed.
I don't know. They don't say it's a weed, but it's hollow inside. And since it's hollow, that's not a trunk. A trunk is solid. Trees have trunks. And so it's an eighth mahal. That's solid. This is not solid. It's hollow inside. That's what some, I think, say the halachas katanas says is a swara to say that it's not a tree. It's a plant. But I saw that in Tshuva Shevet Halevi from Rav Vozna Shlita, he rejects this swara. Because he proves from that Gemara that we mentioned before in Brachas Daf Mem over there, where the Gemara has a Havamina that wheat could be a tree. The wheat could halachically be a tree. And if you look at the stalk of wheat, it's actually hollow. So how could the Gemara have a Havamina? And the reason why the Gemara changes from that Havamina is not anything to do with this, it's a technical reason. But the Gemara assumes that wheat could be a tree halachically, and therefore subject to Bori Priya 8. Because it's hot, and we know that it's hollow. So he says you can't say that being hollow is a reason to say that it's not a tree. Because the Gemara took on that something we know, which is hollow, could be a tree. Now, the final reason which is brought is the Radbaz, which we mentioned. He was one of the early tshuvas that was discussing this shayla. And originally he wanted to say it was osa. He wanted to say that katzilim is osa. You can't eat it at all. However, when he came, I think, to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that the minig was to eat it, I think he's talking about Eretz Yisrael, but wherever it was, he came to a place and he saw that the Talmid Chacham didn't object against it, that people were eating aubergines. So he suggested the reason. The reason was that aubergines produce fruit in their first year. And something that produces fruit in the first year cannot be a tree. Okay? Another story. If something is able to produce fruit, edible fruit, good fruit, in the first year, that cannot be a tree, because trees don't do that. Trees produce things after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but they don't produce fruit in the first year. And chatzilim does. Therefore, it must be a tzoke. Okay, so we've got four sforas as to why chatzilim is actually muta. And the halacha is, I don't know there's anybody who's machmer lamaisa on chatzilim. There was a sefer kafta in the ferach, which the Radbaz brings at the beginning of his tshuva, and he said chatzilim is awesome. But to the best of my knowledge, all the poskim after that held for one reason or another that chatzilim is mutter, aubergine is mutter, and therefore we are noeg to be mutter it. But now we get to the point of the shir. Well, the whole thing is the point of the shir, but to teach you Chos Orda via the mitzias of a papaya. But now we're getting to the Eka point. What is this? What is this thing? This is a fruit or this is a vegetable? So if you actually look at it, it looks a bit like both. It's got certain properties, it looks a bit like the skin of a melon. Inside, the texture is like, melon is hardomo. Inside, it's like a mango, very similar to a mango, the texture, which is a fruit. But the growth of a papaya is very, very interesting. It grows on a very, very high tree. The tree can go meters and meters and meters and meters high. The trunk is hollow inside. The time from planting the tree to the ripening of the fruit is be'erech 1 year. So it can produce fruit in 1 year. The fruit only grows at the top of the tree. It doesn't grow on branches. Right at the top of the tree extends itself every single year. And at that point where it extended itself, the papaya grows. The papayas grow. The best yield, as they call it, is within the second year. In other words, it can produce fruit within the first year, but the best is in the second year. What happens is, although the tree can actually grow for 6 years before it falls down, the era 5 to 6 years before it falls down, the minhag of farmers is to cut it down after 3 years. Because since it can theoretically grow very, very high, it can't really hold itself, it's going to start falling over. So the maitha, they cut it down after 3 years. So again, what's going to happen? All papayas on the market are from within 3 years. Kimat, all of them. So if it's a tree, and taka looks like a tree, so it looks like, very much like a tree without branches, but it looks like a tree, then all papaya is going to be fruit, which is orla. Therefore you won't be able to eat papaya. Unless you go with the chazanish, it's spara, but I don't know if the chazanish relies on that by itself. So, what do we do? So as we said, it looks like a tree. It doesn't grow in a bush, on the ground. It looks like a tree. The tree regrows itself by itself. When itaka disintegrates after 6 years and falls down, it does regrow itself, which as we said, based on the Gemara in Brachos, is a siman that it is a tree, according to some Rishonim. And therefore it would appear to be Priya 8. And therefore, since it's all Lamaisa within 3 years, because you haven't got the Sforah of the Chazon Hashem, made a mistake, you haven't got the Sforah of the Chazon Hashem. The Chazon Hashem's Sforah was by aubergines. Now you thought the Kodesh Baruch Hu could create something which only lasts 3 years, and therefore all its produce will be 3 years. But here, the trees last longer than 3 years. Theoretically, it goes on for 6 years. And therefore, you could get 3 years worth of produce. It's just that they decided to cut it down earlier. So it's only in practice that all the produce is less than 3 years. But it could theoretically be beyond 3 years. And therefore, you haven't got the chazanah for it over here. So what are the arguments to say that it is not a pre-hoitz?
Did you say it's sofik olu v'chus lo sofik? What did you say
before? The halacha generally is sofik olu v'chus lo is mutam. Yeah. But we have to decide whether it's a sofik first. Okay? We have to see if there's enough arguments on either side to see whether it's actually a sofik or not. So, as we said, on a regular tree, fruit generally comes out the same point every year. The apples, the oranges, they come out the same point on the branches every year. There's certain points along the branch, and that's where the fruit is produced. Papaya does not come out from the same point, because the tree grows at the top every year. And on the new bit which was grown, that's where the fruit grows. And that bit didn't even exist last year. So that implies that it's not a tree.
Similar to bananas.
Dates are like that.
Similar to
bananas, yeah. Well, dates also. Right, it's similar. There is that far in there. Oh, it's a different ship, right? Bananas are a completely different story, right? Bananas don't even have a trunk at all. Bananas don't have a trunk. The tree doesn't have a trunk. Even though it looks like it, it's not. Okay, we'll discuss that maybe another time. However, some people want to argue that you can't say, well, since it grows at a different point, because it's not really a different point. It's the top of the tree. Yes, this top of the tree is a different top of the tree to last year, but it's still the top of the tree. Okay? So some say this is not such a good argument. The trunk is hollow, which we mentioned, some achroidim, one of the achroidim say, it's as far as to say that it's not a tree. The tree doesn't have branches. Most trees do have branches, so this would imply that it's not a tree. The Radvaz is a swara that we mentioned, and the Ben Ishchai Paskins like this, in Chuvas Rav Po'olim, says, this swara we mentioned before, that any plantation that can produce fruit within its first year is by definition not a tree. And we mentioned before that papaya does produce it within the first year. So that's another swara. And the Svadi Paiskim seem to paskin like that. Mordechai Eliyahu Shlita and Avadi Yosef, they seem to follow this Ben Ishchai, and paskins like that, for sure, that a papaya is pre-hadoma. It's not a tree. They don't have a sophic about it. They paskin that it is definitely pre-hadoma, and therefore not subject at all to the dinim of Orla. However, there are many Ashkenazi Paiskim, contemporary Paiskim, Rav Yashiv, the Minchas Yitzchok, Chaim Weiss, Rav Vosner, the Moshe Sternberg, who are machmir, to consider it a sophic. Now papaya is a sophic, because we're not clear, it's got these simonim either way. Therefore they hold that we come down to the halachas of sophic orla, the Eretz Yisrael is osa, and sophic orla, the chutz la'aretz is mutter. So if a papaya grows in Eretz Yisrael, and we're not sure if it's a fruit or a vegetable, so you have to be machmir. So papaya in Eretz Yisrael, you have to consider as orla, because most or all of it, which is around, is considered to be fruit, and therefore orla. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, where many papayas grow, this one happens to grow in Brazil, this grew in Brazil, Sofik orla b'chutz la'aretz is mutter, and therefore you could be maker. So that's the final point of the shir. Now loch is, when it comes to brachas, sofik brachas l'kula. And everybody agrees over here, unless you follow the Sfadi. And if the Sfadi Paiskim hold it's not a sophic, and if it's Hadoma, definite. The other Paiskim, those who hold that maybe it's a fruit, maybe it's a vegetable, so we make Hadoma, because Hadoma will definitely cover you, because every pre-Ha'et is also pre-Hadoma as well, it came from the ground, ultimately. And we have, if we have a sophic, so we make Hadoma. So the Brocha Lekulei Alma is Hadoma, right? Which I've spoken to many people over the last 2 weeks, a few weeks I've been preparing this year, most people think that bracha is ha'eitz, and it's not. The Kula Alma, I didn't find anybody who says you make ha'eitz on this. Everybody says you make ha'adom on this, either for definite, because it's pre-hadom, or because of a sophic, because sophic bracha is la'akil, and therefore you make ha'adom. So the bracha on a papaya is ha'adom. And that is really a summary of the halachas of papaya. I just want to stress that those poskim who say that that they consider it a sophic, and therefore sophic or the Eretz Yisrael, the chumra, they're saying it, but they're a chumra, to the best of my understanding. They're not clear. They say it as a chumra. And Rav Vosner writes in his tshuva that he knows that our rabbonim who are making about it, even Eretz Yisrael, in other words, to Paskin, that it is definitely pre-Hadoma, and therefore not subject to Avara at all. So if someone eats papaya from Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say, he's a Vaday doing it. Yes, our Paskin who do hold that it is pre-Hadoma, there's enough argument to say it's pre-Hadoma, and therefore not subject to Hilchos Orla. I'm just mentioning there are quite a lot of contemporary Paskin who hold that it is at most a Sofik, or at best a Sofik, and therefore one should be machmir on papayas from Eretz Yisrael, according to them, and papayas from Chutz Oretz one is allowed to eat. So obviously everyone should ask their own particular rod what the halacha is to do.